You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hey guys, it's Mark.
And I'm Charity.
And welcome to the Case Watch Podcast.
Case Watch deals with content meant for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Case Watch.
Confirming the body found in Grand Teton National Park is Gabby Petito, and she was killed.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder.
Late today, Chris Watts was officially charged with the murders of his wife and his two young girls.
Remember these words. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Yeah, we're back.
Hi, guys.
I got my flood pants on here.
Yeah. Mark had an incident yesterday, guys, so we couldn't record.
Yeah.
And we're mad. Not going to talk about it really, but he just filled me in and we have some thoughts of what might have taken place that we cannot share on air.
No, yeah. I mean, go watch Breaking Bad, that episode where something dissolves in a God, tub. Oh,
hope that's not what's going on.
And Charity are like, and it's weird, but we're like your two friends who discuss all the same stuff.
Yep.
We do it with each other nonstop.
That's right. We do.
100% think there was a tub and acid involved in this.
I got so excited. I was not that I'd be happy if that happened to someone, but I was like, wait. I get very animated sometimes, guys. I don't know if you guys knew that about me.
I called Charity to let her know, like, hey, yeah, recording's not happening today.
And then, and then this is how the conversation went. Okay. Now, on top of that, which is hysterical. I was watching one of my friend's 4-year-old little girls yesterday all day. She's in the back seat. So she hears a conversation. She goes, "Who's that?" I said, "That's my friend Mark." "Who's Mark?" I go, "He's my friend." "Oh, okay." So she's asking all these questions about you, which was funny. But anyways, that's a side point. So the conversation turned when he said he couldn't record. And he says, it gets really quiet. And he goes, "I can't really talk right now about what I think might be going on. But the studio might... all the equipment needs to be, it's bad. I'll fill you in when I see you next." I was like, oh my God, but I didn't think that.
Said owner of tub, I believe to be issue, was standing 8 feet in
right.
front of me.
So guys, yeah.
So my other studio is an empty room right now, and they're ripping up the floor, the carpet, everything. Subfloor is going to come out. It's bad.
Bad stuff, guys. Bad stuff.
Bad stuff in all marks. Basically, an entire live stream studio, including 4 cameras, all the equipment,
all
the audio equipment. Yeah, it was a bad day. And Mark likes his stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I'm a stuff guy. And as I'm taking my stuff and putting it in dumpsters yesterday, it was really
awesome.
Oh,
that's horrible.
I was like, I like this laptop. I remember when I paid $4,000 for this. This is really cool. Too bad it's like 3 months old. Oh, well.
Oh,
goodbye.
Boy. That's horrible.
Yeah. I didn't want these Rode microphones. Who needed microphones?
Oh.
Like, it was fun. It was a good day.
I'm obsessed with the Quote TV.
Are you really? What are you watching now?
I'm still watching the Hannah Gutierrez.
Oh, how's that coming?
I don't know. I'm catching bits and pieces. It's kind of boring, like the stuff they're talking about. I know that sounds horrible, but they keep bringing things up, you know, like saying, well, we know who the one person was who pulled the trigger.
Yep.
You know, they're trying to, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I hope she doesn't end up doing any time. It's would be horrible for a young person like that with such an accident. You know, it is horrible what happened. It's God, I would never want to hear something like that happening, but you know, it did. And it wasn't just one person. So either take care of them all and tell them they all have to go to jail or don't. That's the way I look at it.
I look at it fairly the same way as you. The one thing I peed off a lot of people when I basically said, like, let's just give up on trying people because it's dumb at this point. There's a big difference between malicious intent and a complete accident. All right. Picture me this, people. Ready?
Well, it's second degree, right?
Yep. Close your eyes. I'm going to fill you. Everybody close their eyes.
Unless you're driving, please. No. Nope.
If you're driving, I want you to go ahead.
Pull over.
Nope. Nope. That's not how this works. Oh, you God. Need to be in the moment.
Okay.
I want you to close your eyes.
All right. My eyes are closed.
Just imagine you have a job. Let's say, what can we use as an excuse?
Cut someone's ear off by accident?
All right, we'll use what you do for work.
Yeah.
You are a hairstylist.
I am.
A rather good one, too.
Well, thank you.
You guys should check out Charity's new hairdo color. Like, it's a couple different. I can count, like, 7 colors. Am I close?
No.
Because
this is my natural color, and then the bangs are bleached out. Yeah, I'm a natural redhead.
But the sides, too, like have
some blonde in it, yeah.
Blonde and then brown.
Yeah.
All right, regardless.
I'm multicolored, guys.
So, Charity's position at her work, eyes closed. Come on.
I'm sorry. Okay, my eyes are closed.
Everybody, close your damn eyes.
Oh, geez, he's getting very angry.
Charity's job is the keeper of the clippers. Because she has to make sure the clippers are able to be used every single day for everybody in the office.
I like that.
Charity takes said clippers, puts them away because she says, everybody, I'm going to lunch. There is no clipper usage when I'm gone.
Don't touch the clippers.
Don't touch the clips. At all.
This is good.
But this is going to prove a point. Her eyes are open. Are open.
They're
closed. Charity goes to lunch. She is nowhere near said salon. She gets back and there's 17 police cars there because...
Oh, no.
She finds out somebody used the clippers.
And what happened? What happened?
Ear gone. Completely gone.
Oh, my goodness.
They thought that it was a blank cartridge on the front, and they were just going to double check to make sure when they could legally use the clippers, that at that point they would have their whole mojo down. They would know what they were doing.
Oh, boy.
But instead... accidentally realized that the real clip head was on it because they're not responsible for doing this stuff. That's why they are not allowed
clippers.
To touch it when Charity's not around. God. But they did. And Charity's like, this is horrible. Why didn't you listen to me? And the cops come over and then put handcuffs on her. So you're in charge of the clippers. How did this happen?
Wait, does my hair look good while I'm being detained, though?
No, because you cried and now it's horrible. Oh, people, they're taking pictures of you.
No.
There's police body cam of you all upset, and now you're being sad. Be like, I was in charge. How did this happen?
Oh,
and they
boy.
Make you look horrible to the entire world, Charity.
I was guilty about that in the beginning. Remember when this first happened? Because I didn't, all the facts weren't out. And I was like, well, she's the only one because she was responsible. But then like the facts came out and I had to go back and say, you know what? I was incorrect. I don't feel that way now.
It's weird how narratives can be built with not all the facts
are out
there.
It's very true.
So now Charity is in a fight for her life because she's the keeper of the clippers.
Yeah.
While she was at lunch, somebody used clippers, clipped somebody's ear off, but she's in charge of them.
So it was my fault.
She did put them away. Yeah. She did put them away as well, but yet they still got used.
They still got used.
Now you people are going to say, but there was real ammunition mixed in. Yes, there was.
Oh, that's what they were talking about. on when I was watching yesterday.
Yep.
They were talking about the boxes of ammo that are not sealed and that they were checked or whatever. But then they were saying, well, it was one of the police officers or investigators. And they kept saying, well, you know, are these the boxes? And he said, yes, but I don't know how many times a round was taken out and put back in.
Yep.
There's no way of knowing that.
There
so
isn't.
It was, yeah, I don't know. It's very interesting. I don't know when it's going
to. Well, here's my word to that. Because I am a man who thinks about things.
He does. He's a thinker. He's the thinker.
Mark's also really stoned right now, so maybe that's going to have a lot better of a... It's a Wednesday night. We don't usually record on Wednesdays.
That's
You're
true.
On my time, mother effers.
Oh.
No, I'm just playing with you.
Wow.
I love everybody here. But now they keep saying that, well, there was a live round in there. Well, you know what Hannah Gutierrez-Reed probably would have done? Before she handed that gun over, she would have pulled
checked
all the ammunition
again.
Out
mm-hmm.
and checked it. And she probably would have discovered it was a live round.
Yep.
But, you know, unfortunately, she's at fault because she put the gun away, went to lunch and said, you know, let's do this. And people always say, oh, you should have shut this down. You should have shut that down. I call hogwash on every single person saying that because every single person listening to this podcast has been in a situation where they've been told to do something that they know they're not supposed to.
True.
But they have to because of work because you don't want to get fired.
Yeah.
So let's do the right thing and go ahead and say, you know, this is what happened. Now you've been fired.
Right.
You can't feed your family. You can't do anything. And now you have a black eye in the industry. So people get on the high and mighty horse and say that repeatedly. You would not do it. Everybody that would that said, you know, people should jump in and stop brutality and all this. None of you would do it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because we're all afraid of the consequences.
True.
Meow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you jumped off the soapbox?
Soapbox down. No, I need a little cheering up when you lose a lot of that equipment that I have.
Yeah.
It's a bad
well,
day.
Well, I have something
Plus,
that's
I've
gonna,
been sick.
I'm gonna have, I have something in a minute that's going to cheer you up. But before we get into that, I do.
What's her name?
Oh.
Is she coming yet?
Oh.
Is she on the driveway?
Oh. Yeah. She's in the living room.
Oh, no, she's been here.
I know.
Oh, next problem. Real quick.
Oh, God.
What is this?
Lemonade?
It's a bottle of what? Water?
Yeah. Why are you drinking water?
Mark is now day 3 soda free.
Oh, good for you, Mark.
No, it sucks. It's horrible.
Good for you.
I'm pretty sure, guys, if PepsiCo goes out of business,
it's 'cause of you.
It was probably because of me. Because we sat down at work today while I was being mad and sulking. And we're discussing how much money I'm going to save by not, you know, doing soda anymore.
Absolutely.
I'm not doing the do, man.
Yeah. You'll save a ton of money.
And my boss is like, well, how much do you drink a day?
A lot.
Oh, 12-pack minimum.
No way.
Minimum 12-pack a day.
Oh, my God.
Every
I wonder what's going to happen to him. He's going to start, I don't know, he's going to morph in. Are you becoming like a health person, like a health freak?
No, I'm just.
I got worried there for a minute, guys.
I'm sick of being fat.
Oh,
and
God.
I'd like to see my wee again someday.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, guys, I do
that
want.
That was a joke.
It was a joke. I do want to mention really quick.
Charlie's like.
I do want to mention really quick the Facebook page you found about everyone that hates the Jardians commercials.
Yes, that was.
There is a page for everything.
Oh, 100%.
So it wasn't just you.
No, they hate the new Jardians girl. Actually, they hated the one I like.
I still haven't seen the new one with the toe.
You have to check it out.
Yeah, I have to check that out. So I have a few triple D's.
No, sir.
So I'm glad that I have them today because maybe it'll cheer you up a little bit.
I'm already happy.
Okay, ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Spongy. So this first one is similar to a few triple D's we have shared before.
Oh, boy.
Maybe if these geniuses had listened to Case Watch, they wouldn't have made such dumb choices.
Hey.
We could help. We could help people, guys.
We could prevent you from being the next dumb headline.
We can prevent you from being on our triple D segment.
Case Watch court here. Come on. We're trying to tell you what to avoid.
Exactly. So a not-so-smart dude decided he would break into a plumbing store in Colorado and steal a ton of stuffs, all the things that he could fit into his backpack. I'm thinking he could have just had a bathroom emergency.
Right.
Maybe someone clogged it. I don't know. Well, the owner of the store noticed some activity on his surveillance cameras. And when he zoomed in, he saw that the fence surrounding his store had been cut wide open.
Uh-oh.
Big enough for someone to just slice right in there.
Bad news for that guy.
He quickly called 911. And when the police arrived, they saw a car with a man in it nearby. They asked the man in the car what he was doing there. And he said he was an Uber driver there to pick up a man named Jose.
Jose.
As the police were talking to the Uber driver, a young man in a black hoodie zipped up wearing a black backpack came walking towards the car. Isn't that a coincidence, huh?
Yeah.
One of the police officers asked him if his name was Jose, and he said, of course not. That's not my name.
No, that's not what he said. He said, no way.
Yeah, and then he said,
no way, Jose.
Oh, I get it. And then he said he didn't have an ID on him. He didn't know where it went. He must have left it at home. But his name was actually Raul, not Jose.
Raul.
When they went through the 26-year-old's backpack, they found $8,600 worth of plumbing supplies. That's very interesting, huh?
What a quaint thing.
Yeah, needless to say, Raul, who was really Jose, was arrested on the spot. I love that. You're going to call an Uber for your getaway car. That is amazing.
I real quick have to, I don't have all the info, but Mark likes when he reads something that turns into a triple D case. This
sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Happened somewhere in New England. I can't remember where. I think it was Massachusetts, Western Mass. It gets weird out there. I think they do. I think it's West Boylston. I should probably look it up because I was giggling up a storm this morning watching this on the news. Police in this town got called to a cell phone tower.
Oh, no.
Because there was a couple people up there that didn't belong because they have alarm systems up there and it went off.
Yeah.
They showed up and there is four dudes, all dressed up like they're workers. They have, like their fluorescent stuff. They have their work boots, their hard hats, all this looking legit. And basically said, yes, we were hired by T-Mobile to decommission this cell phone tower. And then the cop's like, T-Mobile? Oh, well, this is a Verizon tower.
Oh, boy.
And they tried to say, no, no, we have a work order. These guys were thieves from New York.
Doing what?
Coming, and they were cutting all the copper out of the tower. Do you know how much copper wire is in a cell phone tower? Like metric S-tons.
What idiots.
So these four douchebags got arrested
this week for trying.
I got to give you style points.
Yeah, they went the extra mile.
You get a plus one because you showed up all dressed up like this. Like, I saw that and I was like, huh, I guess I'll check that one off the list. That won't work.
An A for effort, but
a D for douche.
Yeah, and an F for stupidity.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's nice when we find triple Ds from around the world.
Yes.
As stupidity is found in all the lands, right?
Yep.
So I do like when some of these pop up. This particular one comes from Spain. Some people think we should study the behaviors of animals as what they do is instinctual, right?
Yep.
For example, if an animal thinks it's in danger, it might play dead to save its own life. All right. Stay with me here, okay?
All right.
A 23-year-old man broke into a funeral home. Not sure why.
Maybe. Should her eyes be open or closed?
It's up to you.
All right, I'm going to close them. I think it's more fun.
Maybe he just wanted to see a past friend or family member.
Oh, boy.
Maybe he wanted to see if there were any goods he could steal. Or maybe he just wanted to see a dead body. Hopefully he didn't want to do gross things to any of the said deceased bodies. Anywho. Those
are
just my thoughts.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yes.
Because this is how this works. This is how effed up as a country we are. The song that Tom Petty sings, Last Dance with Mary Jane, is about marijuana.
Yeah.
And he was actually on MTV back in the day, and they were trying to do this like up and coming, like we're not, you know, we're cool and all this stuff. And they asked him, like, what's the emotional meaning behind the song and where did it take you? And he's just like, it's about pot. That's what he said. So the video for Last Dance with Mary Jane shows him going into the mortuary
and dancing with the
dead. Taking it.
Yeah.
He took it and like lived life with her.
Yeah.
Follow me here. We as a country would rather have sex with a dead body and think that's cool to be on a video rather than a video about weed.
Yeah.
How effed up are we?
Oh, I just think maybe...
Smoked the devil's lettuce? You're the devil.
I think maybe it was just more interesting.
You want to take this dead lady to Pound Town? You're a stud.
Who said he was taking her to Pound Town? He was just dancing with her and stuff and living life.
You need to rewatch this video, Charity.
All right.
Everyone needs to go watch this video and look at the subtle undertones.
Okay.
Don't get me started on a lot of the 70s music because there's a lot of weird stuff going on.
Guys, he's starting to climb back up on the soapbox.
Yeah.
Love it. So... anyway, alarms must have sounded because police were called to the scene. While investigating, they noticed a casket with a dead body in it in one of the viewing rooms. You know, probably thought, okay, it's going to be viewed the next day or something. Family members were going to come.
I'm so afraid where this is going to go.
As they got closer, they realized the dead body wasn't dead, as the stomach was moving up and down, clearly breathing and very much alive.
Huh.
The undead 23-year-old idiot was arrested and brought directly to the clink. Anywhere I can clink in there is good.
Right.
How would you think that somebody would think you were dead just by laying there breathing? Yeah. And why would a rando body, and God knows what he was wearing. What if he was wearing like sweatpants and like.
This dude had parents as a kid that didn't bust his ass at hide and seek.
Like, oh, definitely.
Like this guy would hide behind like a 4-inch, you know, basketball pole.
And they'd be like, oh, we can't see you.
We can't see Timmy. Where's Timmy? He's like, I'm invisible.
That's totally what it is.
This is what's happened to Timmy because parents didn't tell him that, hey, fat ass, we can see you behind the pole.
That's amazing. We have eyes. I love that. So I did not plan this, but the last triple D is about a Florida man.
Yeah.
A 41-year-old man named John Yates was wanted by the police for battery, false imprisonment, and tampering charges. They received a tip that he was hiding out in his house, hoping not to be found. The police arrived at John's house around 2:30-ish on a Saturday, hoping to arrest him. They noticed a sign in the window. Would you like to know what the sign said?
Sure.
Quote, Johnny Yates does, in all caps, not live here. I'm sure they just left after reading the sign.
I mean, if it's written down, it's true. The only thing that make it true or if they found it on the internet.
Exactly.
Everything I love on the that internet commercial. True.
Luckily, they didn't take the sign at its word and waited for another one of the residents to come outside and ask them if good old Johnny was in there. Clearly, the said resident was not a fan of Johnny because they said, absolutely.
Oh, boy.
He is in and let them on in, and Johnny was caught red-handed.
But the sign said he wasn't there.
I guess the sign lied.
Sign says, long-haired freaky Johnny can't hide inside.
I don't know what that means.
It's a song. You don't know Signs?
Oh, yeah, but I didn't know, like... It was just a little snippy of it.
Yeah, that's the best part of the song, though. I changed it to Johnny Can't Hide Inside, though.
Oh, okay. I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
This is one of those things that people hear on the podcast and think sounds great and like, oh, Mark's so much fun. Except I do this all day, nonstop. We'll be driving and every song has my name in it somehow. You know.
Oh, I changed the words.
Mark, there it is. Like, you can't even... Party on, party people. Let me hear some noise. Mark's in the house. Jump, jump for joy. Like, this is all day. I don't know why she puts up with me.
Tiny Dancer the other day was on, and I was like,
I can't wait to hear this.
Oh my gosh, it's Tony Danza.
Oh, that's
wasn't
good.
That a good one?
That was good.
I was so proud of myself.
What was the other thing where I thought they were saying your name? I can't remember.
Oh, that was in.
Oh, yes.
It's... Downtown by the, whatever that song is. Yes. You thought my name was in it.
Yeah, and I did go pull lyrics. Apparently, Mark's just deaf. Who knew?
That's awesome. I like that you thought my name was in there.
Yeah, I got all excited about it.
Are we ready for this case?
I am ready.
All right. I'm not going to say exactly what it's about. I'm just going to start reading.
That's the best way to go.
Okay. Celeste Johnson was born on February 13th, 1963, in Culver City, California. Celeste didn't know her birth parents, who they were, but claimed she did find the woman she thought to be her birth mother and met her once. Upon meeting her so-called birth mother, she was told by the woman that she was not her mother, just the body that housed her for 9 months.
Ew.
Yeah, okay, that was an honest yet, I'm sure, very hurtful exchange, right?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be on the Christmas card.
Celeste has said that Edwin Johnson, her adoptive father, was physically abusive, so much so that she tried to commit suicide as a teenager. At the young age of 19, Celeste found herself pregnant with twins and married her first husband, Craig Bratcher. It's been said that Craig was abusive, just like her adoptive father. It didn't look as if the two were married long at all. Craig killed himself in 1996, leaving Celeste to take care of their twins, Jennifer and Christina. So, obviously, she's got some mental stuff going on. The father had some mental stuff. If it's true that the adoptive father abused her, that's horrible.
I just want to say that I just realized Charity was looking at me because she didn't tell me I could open my eyes back up, so they've been closed this entire time.
Oh, my God.
So I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't find any information that said anything to the point of how the father was to the twins. He might not have even been in their lives much at all before he passed away. So I don't know. It didn't really say. Celeste was not a gal afraid of commitment as she married a second husband named Henry Wolf, divorcing him and moving on to her third husband, Jimmy Martinez, also divorcing him. So it looks like she's kind of like looking for a person to bring her happiness. This is just my opinion. I don't know.
Happiness starts inside, baby.
That's right. She must have still believed in love because she seemed to be on the prowl.
Yeah.
She was living in Austin, Texas, working as a waitress at a country club when she met a much older man named Stephen Beard. His first wife, Elise Helen Adams, passed away from a battle with cancer in 1995. He had three children with Elise. Stephen was also richer than rich. A multi-millionaire, to be exact. So that must have been, you know, kind of a little enticing to her. Just saying. I don't know. Some people, that's something that they
like. I heard it's always about love, never about money.
Of course, yes.
That's what I've heard.
Stephen was actually a co-founder of a TV station called KBVO in Austin, Texas. And I am guessing Celeste did see money signs when she looked at Stephen, who was close to twice her age.
It's just skin, Stephen.
Oh, my God.
That's from Cable Guy.
I know.
I love that.
Stephen supposedly talked Celeste into moving in with him, telling her he would love to take care of her and her twin girls. The two were quick to get married on February 18th, 1995. Stephen was 69 at the time, and Celeste was 32. Don't worry. Celeste did sign a prenup that stated if she divorced Stephen, she would only receive a lump sum of $500,000.
But if she killed him.
It's been said Celeste fell for Stephen not only because he was rich, but also because he was stable, something she and her daughters had never had. Stephen's family and friends were
so
not.
So it wasn't a table. Like, do you have to jump to the 69-year-old dude?
I don't know. Stephen's family and friends were not fans of the union. They felt that Celeste only married him for his money.
Well, I want to 100% say, yes. If I'm 69 years old and have a bunch of money and some hot 20-year-old is like, hey, let me help you spend your money, I would be like, yeah. So I get it. Who cares?
Her very own daughters, Christina and Jennifer, had said their mother only married Stephen for his mother. That's pretty sad when your own daughters can see that, I think.
Of course.
Stephen, on the other hand, seemed truly in love with Celeste and genuinely seemed to love the girls.
How old were the daughters?
They were, I think, middle school and then got to be older to be, you know.
I was going
to
say, if they were above 18, it would have been funny. Like, she's just with you for the money. I really love you.
Oh, God. Well, he even adopted the girls, showing them he wanted to be a father to them, which is really nice because they, you know.
Yeah, that is a good thing.
He gave the girls a life they could have only dreamed of. He was happy to take his family on wonderful trips all over the world. After all, he had the money. Why not spend it on the ones you love, right?
Absolutely.
Stephen showed the girls true love, something they really saw from their own mother. Sounds like Celeste was missing that, like, ingrained mother's love thing, you know?
Yes.
Stephen loved those girls so much, he had his will rewritten, adding them in with his first three children so they would be taken care of in his absence. That's really
his
nice.
His three other kids right now are like, that bitch.
Right? As the marriage moved on, Celeste began spending well over her, guys, listen to this, $10,000 a month allowance. $10,000 a month allowance. It's an allowance.
To put that into perspective, she's not paying bills out of that.
No,
that
it's an allowance.
That is a lot of money.
It's for her to, like, have fun with.
Man, I wish I could find a guy like Stephen paying $10,000 a month.
To try and stop all the spending, Stephen gave Celeste the $500,000 she would get if they had gotten divorced, maybe thinking, if she knew she had already had the money, then she wouldn't get any more in the divorce, that she would stop spending, right? And just keep that $500,000. I can't imagine having that much money to just blow in a month. And then the $500,000 on top of it?
Oh,
I want to know what she was buying.
Oh, I could blow that in a day.
Well, yeah, electronical stuff and stuff. Electronical.
Electronical.
Did I?
For the autonomical.
I like when I make words up, guys. Well, the lump sum didn't help to slow any of the spending. And it's been said that Celeste struggled with depression for most of her life. As she was spiraling out of control, Stephen began to threaten her with divorce. So he had had it. He was like, what is going on here? All she's doing is spending my money. It's not making her happy because clearly she, as Mark said, you need to find happiness within. And she was not able to do that. So when she's heard,
I'm pretty sure she was trying to get a lot of happiness with Gucci, though. So
probably,
like, wow, $10,000 a month.
When she heard that he was thinking of divorcing her, she started saying she was going to kill herself. Her girls have later said that that was a plea for her to get away with her actions and stay married. Ooh, her girls don't think very highly of her, huh?
No.
Stephen took her threats and mental health very seriously, and in 1999, he encouraged her to get help. She checked into St. David's Clinic, hoping to get the tools she needed to lead a happier life. So this guy was a good dude. This guy was a good dude. He allowed her to spend all of his money. Not all of his money, but a ton of his money. He did threaten divorce, but it was probably because he didn't know what else to do.
Yep.
And then when she threatened to kill herself, he took it seriously. He was like, I can't have her doing that. Let's get her some help. I'm going to help her get help.
Good for you, Mr. Beard.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's not going to be good, though.
So while there, Celeste became quick friends with another patient named Tracy Tarleton.
I've never met a good Tracy.
Tracy?
Except the ones that are named Tracy who listen to our show.
Of course.
We love those Tracys.
Tracy was immediately taken with Celeste. Bump, chicka, bump, bump.
Yeah.
And she believed that Celeste had the same romantic feelings towards her that she had as well.
That's what she said.
Tracy was very open about being a lesbian and said she knew when she was a teenager. Wow. Sounds like Celeste could have had a magic meow, if you catch my drift.
Oh, it's covered. Hold on.
Meow.
Yeah.
It was like spotted a mile away. That thing just had a personality of its own.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're male, female. It's a magic meow.
That's funny.
That would make a good shirt. Oh, guys. Magic meow. And the meow would be in all caps because that's how you'd hear it in your head.
That's awesome.
Tracy and Celeste, well, this is according to Tracy and other people around them, have said that Tracy and Celeste became romantically involved. Okay.
Okay.
As we go forward, we're going to see that Celeste tried to say that that wasn't the case, but let's read on and.
All right. Wait a minute. Wait. Mark thought. How old is the guy who we're talking about?
Are you going to make me say it?
Yeah.
60 plus 9.
I can't do
69.
That.
He's 69. Oh, 69.
Okay. Carry on.
Oh, God. Well, let's just read on and see if, after hearing the full story, you think they possibly could have had a relationship, these two women. Okay?
Yep. Eyes are closed.
Tracy was very known that Tracy had mental problems. She had even been arrested in 1998. She was drinking herself into oblivion at the time. The 1998 arrest was the final straw that ended a two-year relationship with a woman named Zan Ray. That's a really cool name, actually.
Yeah.
And I don't blame you, Zan Ray. That would have been my last straw, too. I would have been like, you know what? You just got arrested? I'm good. Peace.
That is an interesting name. I wonder if she knows Casey Anthony's, you know, babysitter.
Zanny the Nanny?
Yeah, Zanny the Nanny. Zan Ray. Like, come on.
I think Zan Ray is a real person.
You think so?
Uh-huh. I think she is, yes.
Wait, Zanny the Nanny is fake?
I do not believe there was ever such a person, no.
I just don't believe how we actually believed that at the beginning. The news took it seriously.
I felt bad. Well, yeah, because you want to find the little girl. I felt bad for the woman that they found that her name was actually Zanny.
The one, I know.
And she's like, I have no idea what you people are talking about.
That is horrible. Sorry, side tangent.
Okay. I'm not making excuses for anyone, guys. But if you think about it, Tracy was probably in a very raw state at the time Celeste came into her life.
Okay.
He was just looking for love, sad, you know. Tracy left David's clinic on March 1st, 1999, and was sent to Menninger Clinic in Kansas. There she was diagnosed to have a psychotic illness. It was observed that she could easily be affected by hallucinations and have delusional thoughts. It was suspected she had schizophrenia. March 20th, 1999, Tracy moved to yet another hospital because she heard that Stephen was going to have Celeste sent there. So she became very obsessed with Celeste right away. You know, this is the woman I'm supposed to be with. I have to be with her. Who knows what Celeste was telling her? We don't know, right? Yep. We can speculate. There has to be some sort of reason. What? Or did she just make the whole thing up in her head? Because she has been known to do that.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that.
You know? I don't know. The name of the facility was Timberlawn. Celeste arrived at Timberlawn on March 23rd, 1999. During a therapy session involving Celeste, Tracy, and a therapist, Tracy announced that she wanted to kill herself. She didn't want to live anymore. I guess the reason for her stating that was that Celeste had stated that she didn't want to room with Tracy anymore, and this threw Tracy into a fit. So obviously something was in I don't know what was going on, but they had to have this therapy session all together, so I really don't know. The two women had only known each other for less than 2 months, and Tracy was clearly hooked in love with Celeste and the meow.
Meow.
Yeah.
Some meows are just more contagious than others, I guess. I don't know.
100%.
Celeste was moved to a different part of the hospital, and Tracy blamed Stephen. She wanted to die, and she wanted him to die. Tracy and Celeste bonded so quickly because they both experienced similar childhood traumas. Celeste supposedly told Tracy she wanted to be just friends, but who knows what was truly going on with the two, like I said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could be believable.
That guy's what, 69, right?
Yes, he's 69. Okay. I mean, anything could be true, who knows, because of Tracy's mental disorders, right? I don't know.
They tried the 37?
Stop that.
Oh, that 37's a good one.
I can't with him.
Guys, let me know on Facebook what you think the 37 is. Seriously.
I want to know.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay. Wait, can you tell me right now? Go off air for a sec. I want to know.
All right, we're going to pause. And we're back.
Oh, my.
Didn't know you needed to know that information, did you?
Wow. But
guys,
now I know.
Guess what you think it is.
Now I know.
And no one's half the battle.
While Tracy and Celeste were at Timberlawn, they were able to leave the facility some weekends to visit Celeste's family. Tracy was considered a, quote, good family friend. So it wasn't strange that she would visit Steven and the twins and hang out, right?
No, not weird at all.
Like, it was just her best. So this is confusing to me, too, and I can see why Tracy got confused. Because, okay, you're saying you don't want a room with her. You're saying you just want a platonic relationship. But something must have been going on, because why are you allowing her to come to your home?
Yeah, that's odd.
Tracy got along great with the girls during these times. They would go to movies, eat yummy food together, and Tracy would even help them with their homework. I do find this a little odd, right? Hi, meet my new best friend, Tracy. She's going to do fun things with you. It's not weird at all.
Not at all.
You know, I just met her a couple months ago, but we're totally BFFs now. Celeste was released from the facility on June 3rd, 1999.
Steven, 69, really?
All right.
69.
I can't, guys. I'm trying to get through my story today, and Mark's like a little boy over there. She had to stay in Dallas into the beginning of July for a few outpatient appointments with her therapist, Dr. Bernard Gottway. Oh, that sounds like a made-up, like, movie name.
That is totally movie name.
Yeah.
I love it.
But after that, she was able to return home with Steven and the girls. Good old Tracy was in the picture as the good family friend, still helping out with the girls, etc. At one point, one of the twins, Christina, was given a key to Tracy's place to help take care of her pets. Christina had to take a gun away from Tracy and give it to the police.
Ooh.
Tracy had been threatening to kill herself because Celeste had gone away with her husband, 69-year-old Steven.
She's like, me too, 69.
But that's why she wanted to kill herself, because she was imagining what they were doing together, probably. This all must have been so confusing for the girls. Think about it, right?
Yeah.
Now that we have some idea of the relationships going on, let's proceed. Celeste told Tracy lies about her marriage to Steven, telling her he was both emotionally and physically abusive to her. It's also been said that the two women were in a full-fledged lesbian love affair during the time.
No.
Yeah. Sounds like this was by design on Celeste's part. So did Celeste give her some of the kitty just so that she could get her to kill him?
Hearing you say give her some of the kitty is probably the best thing I've heard today.
Meow.
Meow.
That's awesome.
They also... Sorry.
I'm going to leave it in.
They also had many conversations about killing Steven. They talked about poisoning him, suffocating him. Those were just a few examples of their many plans. The twins graduated from high school in August of 1999. Celeste's ex-husband, Jimmy Martinez, had offered to have the girls' graduation party at his house on August 28th, 1999. That was nice.
Yeah.
One of her ex-husbands was like, oh, you can use my house. During the graduation party, Jimmy found Tracy on top of Celeste, playing with her hair, trying to kiss her. He yelled at Tracy, asking her what the heck she was doing, and told her to get out of his house. Celeste was apparently super drunk and had gone into the bedrooms to sleep it off. That is so weird. At your daughter's graduation party, you get so hammered, you're going to go sleep it off at someone's house. It's not even your house.
I've been at a few parties where I've seen people that should not be drunk be completely shit hammered.
Oh, I have too.
Like, and it's just like, how Why?
Yeah.
Today?
So strange.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I know. So at least that's what she told Jimmy, right? She also told Jimmy to tell Tracy that she wasn't a lesbian. So she was aware of what was going on.
Yeah.
That very same night, Tracy was arrested for drunk driving. She attempted to call Celeste at home over and over. Stephen woke up and told Celeste to pick Tracy up. She promised she would stop seeing Tracy as much as she was seeing her. So Stephen knew something was weird.
He's like every other hour now, not every.
Right? No, yeah. I mean, that's how much these girls were together. Celeste and her daughter, Christina, picked Tracy up at jail. The last straw for Stephen was in September of 2000. He walked into his home and he saw Celeste and Tracy.
Wait. Let's let it build.
In what he thought.
Wait, what?
To be.
No.
A romantic embrace. Yeah, they were clearly not hugging to him. Excuse me. I don't want to put things out there that might not be true. According to him, he fully believed it was a romantic embrace.
Hmm.
So he kicked Tracy
out. Was it because they were opposite directions?
I don't know. They could have been embracing in opposite directions.
Yeah, on top of each other?
Opposite, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Equal, yeah. But opposite.
It could. I didn't say, but we can speculate anything at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's all up for grabs.
Yeah. Well, anyways, he was pissed and kicked Tracy out, telling her she could never come back into the house.
Nope. Gone you go.
I'm going to get my news voice right now.
Interrupt this broadcast for the special news bulletin brought to you by Case Watch Charity. Who is this lady? Oh, whatever. Off to her.
This next information comes from ABC News. Guys, just a minute ago when I said in the year 2000 he walked in on Celeste and Tracy, it was still 1999. I apologize. Instead of going back and trying to fix that, I figured I'd just say it.
You're fired.
Because you know what? We all make mistakes, and that's okay.
All right, let's move on.
Early in the morning on October 2nd, 1999.
You do just realize that I just told a whole story where I had none of the facts, and we still enjoyed it. It's all good.
It's all good. Someone broke into Stephen Beard's home and shot him.
Did they say, it's just skin, Stephen?
They could have. Stephen was able to muster the strength to call 911, saying, oh, guys, this is really sad. Quote, my guts are in my hands.
Oh.
I know. He was rushed to the hospital. Only hours after Stephen's shooting, a family friend told investigators that they thought Tracy might have had something to do with it. Okay, so an actual family friend that was friends with the family for an actual long period of time, who actually knew the family very well, was very suspicious of Tracy.
You don't say.
When police went to Tracy's home, they found a shotgun that matched the exact bullet shells found on the floor around Stephen.
No.
I know. Isn't that weird? Tracy denied any involvement at first, but was arrested and charged with assault so she could be held. So they arrested her before they had all the facts because they're like, all right, this is too coincidental.
Something's going on.
Meanwhile, the police began to gather interesting information. Interesting information.
Interesting.
They heard how Celeste spread negative rumors about her husband. David Kupperman was the attorney for the Beard family. He wouldn't allow the police to interview Stephen while he was in the hospital, saying it was because he was in such bad condition, which I'm sure that was true, right? Yeah. I mean, we don't know if...
I mean, his guts were in his literal hands.
Oh, so sad. I can't even imagine that. Like, oh my God.
Ooh, I just found a lifesaver.
I know. I almost took that earlier. Oh. Would you have been mad at me? Do you have any more?
I didn't even know I had it. It's like a bonus. There might be some more here.
All right.
But probably all kinds of candy in here. Oh. I don't know about.
All right. Like you try to find that.
No, it looks like you're SOL. I got some Tylenol PM, though. You want
no,
that?
No, thanks. I have to drive.
Okay.
Celeste played the part of the dutiful wife while her husband was in the hospital acting grief-stricken. So she was by his side. And, you know, talking to the doctors and, you know, being the loving, supportive, worried for her husband's well-being wife. So picture that. So Stephen ended up passing away from a blood clot due to his injuries 4 months after he was shot. So, guys, he lived for 4 months.
Even worse.
That's even worse because his loved ones and his kids were like, oh, he's going to pull through, Dad. And then this happens. The information was pieced together, but Tracy was still holding her words until July of 2000. It was at this time she read that Celeste had remarried a man named Cole Johnson just 6 months after Stephen's murder.
No, sir.
That means she remarried just 2 months after he died. So clearly she was dating this dude while he was in the hospital.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's quite the turnaround, if you ask me.
I'm going to ask you.
I thought she was horribly upset over her husband's murder.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
Tracy was now faced with the truth. Celeste never loved her. She used her to get what she wanted. With this new realization, right before her murder trial was going to start in March of 2002, Tracy agreed to take a plea deal and testify against her ex-lover, Celeste.
Oh, no.
She told investigators all the things Celeste told her about Stephen. Tracy said she was told Stephen was abusive and pushed Celeste to the point of suicide. It was after hearing all of that, Tracy was sure that she had to get rid of Stephen to protect Celeste and allow them to be together.
Obviously.
If she testified about this in court, she would only be given 20 years in jail, which is probably much less than she would have received if she had been convicted at trial. Now that Tracy was spilling the beans, the police had enough evidence to arrest Celeste on March 28, 2002. During her trial, prosecutors said that she had only married Stephen for his money and wanted him gone because he was threatening divorce because of all the ridiculous spending she was doing. The Beard's attorney, you know, the dead Stephen's attorney, isn't that horrible? Who is now defending Celeste, mm-hmm. who was already married to another man, fired back saying that Stephen didn't want a divorce and that the couple had already dealt with their issues during couples therapy. And Stephen's accountant took the stand to show just how much money Celeste had blown through. So it was going back and forth, right?
Yep.
They're showing that. I guess they did try to go to couples therapy, but it still didn't look good.
I tried that once. Turns out everything was still my fault.
Oh, poor Mark. So Celeste had spent $321,000 in October and November of 1999.
It's impressive.
$249,000 by December and another $100,000 by March 2000. Holy moly.
Those are pretty good numbers. That's impressive.
Yikes. That's crazy. Like,
what was she buying?
I know. I want to know. Celeste's attorney said that.
She's like that girl in the commercial. She's like, this is coming red. I'll take 7.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Flo.
Yep. Celeste. Oh, Flo's twin sister.
Yes.
Oh, I love that one.
That's my Tuesday challenge.
Wait, is that my voice on the TV right now? That's awesome.
I'll take 7. I love that.
Oh, that's awesome. Celeste's attorney said that due to her mental illness, Tracy acted alone and wasn't a believable witness. He went on to say that Tracy had a deep obsession for Celeste and decided to kill Stephen all on her own. The defense said Celeste wanted nothing to do with Tracy romantically and even pushed her away at times. He went as far as to say that Celeste's daughters lied under oath on the stand because they knew if their mother was acquitted, they wouldn't receive any money from Stephen's estate. What?
Odd.
That's horrible. In 2003, Celeste was convicted of capital murder and sentenced to 2 consecutive 40-year life sentences. She won't be eligible for parole until she is 79 years old in April of 2042.
I guarantee if she lives that long, she will find another man and do the same thing.
Probably. Celeste has continued to say she is innocent. She is currently serving her sentence at the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. Tracy was released early in August of 2011, off living her life, which I don't know.
I don't like any of it.
I don't know how I feel about that. She clearly had mental issues, but I don't know. This story has been featured in many locations. A few of them are American Justice, Snapped, Deadly Women, and 2020. So this has been one that's been in the media.
And Case Watch.
And Case Watch, which is the most important one.
Who are those nerds?
That's us, Mark. We're the nerds. We need more reviews. We need reviews. Oh, and we need voicemails.
Yes.
We need to hear your voices on air again. I love hearing your voices on air, guys.
I do, too. There's probably some on there.
Is there? Check it right now.
There probably is.
Check and see if there is. We'll play it.
I'll just randomly play whatever's on here.
All right.
This is one of the funny things. You ever remember being a really bad person and, like, sending weird audio to people when audio text was a thing?
No, I don't think I did that.
There's this whole thing. It was like, good afternoon, Mr. Jones. This is CVS calling about your anal warp remover cream.
Oh, I remember all that. Yes.
I was just talking because I'm trying to remember the password to my voicemail.
Oh, did you remember it yet?
I think so. Yep, there it is.
Okay.
Well, there it is.
Do we have any?
Yeah, a whole bunch of stuff on here. Let me see. We'll play something. We'll play
People
one.
Have been calling? What's wrong with you? Maybe I should have control of the phone.
Well, the last message we had was a little while ago, but here we go. Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, I don't know.
Oh, wait, that's a really long one. I'm going to change. I'm changing because that one's like really long. Hold on. I will listen to it and play it, though. Let's see. Let's try this one.
Susan from Jacksonville, Florida. Douchebag.
Oh, it's a douchebag one.
Yeah.
Oh, Susan's called before.
Yeah, there's a couple douchebags on
I want to hear some more douchebags. See, he does have them, guys.
My name is Chantel, and I am calling from Minnesota.
I think we heard this one.
Did we?
Your two-parter episode, and I've never done anything like this, but I figured I'd call.
Oh, maybe not.
We do a voicemail. It's funnier because I'm currently at work cleaning a primary school, and I'm going to say, you're a douche.
Yes.
You're a douche.
These are so good.
Douchebag. Douche-a-roo.
Love her accent.
Douche whatever.
Oh, my God. I love her.
You're a douche. Put it on your button and enjoy.
I love it.
Have
oh, my God.
Night, guys.
I wish we had played these before. Mark, you've been holding out on. Guys, this is 100% Mark's fault, not Charity.
I've been holding the douche from Charity.
He has all the douche.
I do.
And this is not my fault. And you have to put the douches on a
all
button.
I know I have to. I got really
Take
busy.
The time while you can't record your other thing
yes.
to put some, get a douchebag thing together.
I will get douches all around.
I wonder how many more douches are on there. It's probably a ton.
There's like 20 more.
Oh, and they never heard their voices.
They will.
Guys, I'm sorry. What is this? Oh, those are your socks.
Those are my socks.
Oh, it's okay to fart. That's right.
Yes,
those
ones are awesome.
That's so good. Sorry, guys.
I love all the stuff that people have sent us. They never in my million years of my mind did I think people would want
to send
listen.
Us stuff.
Not alone send us, listen to us. We're just two morons who just come and have fun.
And we'd say stupid things that make each other laugh. I'm telling you, we're the girl-boy version of Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. All right, guys. Peace. We're out.
Bye, guys.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.